This is the sound of Overtown today. Cars on the highway soaring over dilapidated buildings and vacant lots. But back in the 50s and early 60s, it sounded like this. Overtown was once a thriving center for music and nightlife that drew black stars from all over the country. All that was destroyed when Interstates 95 and 395 were built through it in the 1960s. Those concrete monsters turned Overtown into a byword for urban blight and destroyed a piece of Miami and black America's history. Historian Marvin Dunn.
It was decimated, slaughtered intentionally by the white power structure at the time. So that once Overtown had been cut up, run over with interstates, what was there to talk about?
Saxophonist Pee Wee Ellis lived there in the early 60s before leaving to play with James Brown.
Miami was a hotbed, a flourishing mecca. Music, it was live and vital. It was vigorous. There were lots of musicians and lots of music. People seemed to be free to do the things they felt like doing.
Overtown had been a stop on the black music circuit since the 1920s, but it exploded in the 1950s as black stars like Count Basie, Nat King Cole, and Lena Horne came to play the big hotels of Miami Beach. Then, since blacks weren't allowed to sleep on the beach during segregation, they would head back across the bay to Overtown. Actress and singer Sondrell Rivers was raised there.
And the party began once they came over, because it's like, okay, I done worked for them. I done made my money. Now let me enjoy myself with my people. Now I can get down the way I want to get down.
Producer and songwriter Willie Clark, who helped create many R&B and disco classics at TK Records in the 70s, says music was central to life in Overtown.
That's all we had. We couldn't go downtown to movies. We couldn't go on Miami Beach. When the streetlights came on Miami Beach, you got to be out of there.
But Marvin Dunn says being forced together fostered creativity.
Segregation did a positive thing in that it created a sort of a fulcrum, a sort of a boiling pot of rage, elation, celebration. It created a place where art could flourish.
Please, 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 please.
The center of the action was on Northwest 2nd Avenue, which was packed with clubs like the Harlem Square and the Island Club and the lounge at the Mary Elizabeth Hotel. Around the corner on 3rd Avenue was the Sir John Hotel, the Delano of 50s Overtown, with a club called the Night Beat, which showcased the biggest names in black America. James Brown was among those who came through regularly.
Baby, you did me wrong.
Guitarist Philip Wright, whose little sister Betty Wright would go on to become a Miami R&B legend with the song Cleanup Woman, says everyone, famous or not, felt at home in Overtown.
It wasn't like, oh, I'm a big star, but they had hit records. And everybody knew who they were in the United States. But when they came to Miami and Overtown, they could walk out of the club and walk down the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning. And people just see them and they say, oh, Tina Turner, hey, what's up? And they, some of them walk with them. A walk with Ray Charles.
Often those hitmakers use local musicians. Wright auditioned for soul singer Sam Cooke.
Sam asked me, he said, he looked at me because I was so young. I just turned 13. So he said, do you know any of my songs? I said, I know all your songs. And he said, okay.
Sam Cooke spent a lot of time in the neighborhood. Here, he works the crowd at Overtown's Harlem Square Club in 1963. It was Cooke who introduced a young Ray Charles to local record producer Henry Stone at the Mary Elizabeth Hotel.
Of course, he was blind and he was young. He was just a musician at the time. He wasn't Ray Charles, per se, Ray Charles. Basically playing piano and singing.
Down in St. Pete.
The result was Charles' first recordings.
Florida.
I brought Ray Charles into the studio to record Four Sides. The time when Ray came to me, he came and he started singing like Nat King Cole. And I said, no, Ray, I need blues. I said, we gotta go back to the blues. He said, oh, I'd love that.
The most famous act to come out of Overtown was legendary soul duo Sam and Dave. Sam Moore grew up on 3rd Avenue, just north of what's now the 395 overpass, singing gospel, doo-wop, and rock and roll. He was hosting a talent show at a Miami club called King of Hearts around 1960 when aspiring singer Dave Prater froze up on stage. Moore started singing along to help out.
The poor guy, sweat is just pouring out of him. You may have thought he had been into the pool. And I don't want to take it away from him. And the microphone, Jordan, fell over. I panicked, and Dave panicked, and we both fell to the floor to get the mic, like a Joe Tex kind of thing, right? And the audience thought that was it. They screaming, all right, hey, Sam and Dave, oh, blah, blah, blah.
But Sam and Dave were the only artists to really make it out of Overtown. Just as black music started blowing up in white America with Motown and Atlantic, and the civil rights movement was helping blacks move forward, highway construction started blasting through the heart of Overtown. Producer Willie Clark says it was devastating.
When they brought the expressway through there, it kind of like killed the village, that cohesiveness with the black neighborhood. They destroyed it.
I-95 could have been built along the FEC railroad corridor. Instead, city leaders decided to put it through Miami's most important black neighborhood. Former judge and civil rights leader John Davis Johnson says it was a brutal blow.
All of that was behind us. And all we could do is perhaps tell our children and our children's children about what used to be. Everybody say, have a party for me.
Like in this 1963 Sam Cooke concert at the Harlem Square. This story is dedicated to my editor, Terry Jackson, who worked with me on this project for over a year, but who passed away on January 6th. Jordan Levin, WLRN Miami Herald News.